We're less than a week away from the midterm elections, and there are some interesting and important congressional races to watch across the country. And immigration has been big news this week, with more than 5,000 active duty U.S. troops being sent to the U.S. border, and with President Trump claiming he could end birthright citizenship by executive order. Our question for you this week is, do you think that the president is right to want to remove the constitutional right to be a U.S. citizen if you were born on U.S. soil? Why or why not? What do you think of the timing of bringing this issue up right before the midterm elections? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Fernando Pizarro is the Washington reporter for Univision. Fernando, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Yes, thank you. I love Central Time. I used to live in Iowa, so I'm used to Central Time.
Wonderful. Well, no jet lag for you then when you talk to us. That's fantastic.
No, not at all.
Well, before we get into the specifics of the troops to the border and this birthright citizenship thing, let's talk about the timing and the politics here. President Trump wants people talking and thinking about immigration issues, it looks like, as we come into Election Day, right?
Oh, absolutely. The timing for the president, in a way, is perfect. There's been much talk about what caused this migrant caravan that started a few weeks ago. And let me tell you, give you some context here. This caravan began in Honduras, the first of three now, because now there are three different groups. Everybody tends to agree that they began sort of by context in social media. They were kind of spurred by some leftist activists in Honduras trying to make their government look bad. Their current president, President Hernandez, is not very popular. So anyway, these people seem to have organized via social media and decided that this was a cheap way to go altogether and not paying coyotes or traffickers to bring them up here and paying enormous fees. However, this caravan began the day after the U.S. and Mexico hosted at the Department of State the presidents of Honduras, Guatemala, and the VP of El Salvador, in which they were going to talk exactly about this. And this caravan begins the day after these meetings end here, after Vice President Pence, DHS Secretary Nielsen, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, they tell them that the message is, look, tell your people not to come here illegally. Anyway, so now we're getting to this point that this, as we all know, that this caravan is getting closer. There's still about 900 miles. That is the one that's closest to the U.S. border. And the president tells the Pentagon to they need some authority first, a request from DHS, which was given last week. And on Monday, they announced that instead of sending 800 active service troops, they're going to send 5,200, which is a pretty high number. Now, these are not the National Guard troops that were sent during the spring, during the first caravan, which we all know ended up in the zero tolerance policy, the separation of families crisis. This is a different group. These are active duty service members that are going to be sent, but pretty much with the same type of mission, which is a logistical mission. They are not to be in contact with the migrants. They're there to provide air support, air surveillance, transportation. They are bringing, literally, they have installed 22 miles of, they call it concertina wire, which you may know it's pretty much barbed wire. And they're ready to install another 150 miles of concertina wire along the border. So that is going to be their mission.
And some people are saying, well, this is a theater, this is a political stunt. Some people saying, no, this support mission actually will help with border security. How do we untangle the political argument over the meaning of these troops going there?
Well, today, Defense Secretary Mattis just defended the move and said clearly this is not a political stunt to help in the midterm elections. But it is clear, Vice President Pence just said today as well, that, you know, they're making this a political issue by trying to energize the Republican or the Trump base, who is afraid of this group. And as we know, President Trump has repeatedly called them gang members, and he also mentioned that they've clashed with the Mexican police, which it did happen this weekend, and he's also beginning to blame Mexico. He's been very careful in how he talks about Mexico now with an in incoming Mexican president on the 1st of December. And also, let's remember that now the whole issue of the whole trade agreement has been fixed, and now we're facing a new trade agreement that needs to be ratified by the Congresses in Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. But he's beginning to change his tune on Mexico and blaming the authorities for letting the group go on and basically reach the U.S. border.
Talking to Fernando Pizarro from Univision. He's a Washington reporter there, talking about some of the top stories in national news this week. A lot of those related to elections and immigration issues. The other big immigration story, Fernando, the president saying in an interview just over the last few days, this came out, he would and could, he says, end a so-called birthright citizenship by an executive order. A lot of disagreement on that from constitutional scholars. Let's give a little listen to part of that interview with Axios.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. Guess 14th Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
It's been pointed out that about 30 countries have something like that birthright policy. But, Fernando, again, this issue at this time, what do you make of this?
Well, the context of the question, this issue, I don't think it was on anybody's radar right now. This issue was prompted by the question from our colleagues from Axios that you know, had this exclusive with the president. And then he seems to talk a lot and tends to give some statements that end up not being true, like, which is what you just mentioned about there are 30-something countries that do have birthright citizenship, most of them in the Americas. It is said that many of these countries were giving people those rights because they were, back in the past, they were attracting immigrants, and I mean countries like Mexico, Canada, and other countries in the Americas, in addition to the U.S. But he does need, that's what most scholars agree on, he does need a constitutional change. He needs a vote in Congress to change the 14th Amendment, which was adopted in Congress in 1868, mostly to grant and to secure citizenship for former slaves after the Civil War. But it was in 1898 that a very important case came before the Supreme Court and basically ratified this birthright citizenship. It is possible to change it. This is not a new idea for Republicans. Republicans have brought this issue back in the past. And now even some Democrats are saying that they would be willing to do that. Senator Joe Donnelly from Indiana, which is in a very tight race, he just mentioned he would be open for some legislation. Apparently Lindsey Graham, Republican senator from South Carolina, said that he would propose something to help President Trump on this issue. But we're really far from this. As you probably have reported on, Speaker Ryan criticized the president on Thursday about this, and then President Trump today came really hard on Speaker Ryan and said he doesn't know anything about citizenship. He should probably instead concentrate on keeping the Republican majority in the House instead of talking about citizenship. So this is a contentious issue. It is easy to understand the anger and concern that people have about these migrant caravans. And let's focus that this would be something that would be affecting the children of mostly undocumented immigrants that would have kids here and they're, you know, obviously would have the right to U.S. citizenship just by being born in the U.S. But as I said, this is not a new topic. Even President Trump brought it up during the campaign. So he's now using it to rile up the base.
We're talking about some of the big national political stories of the week with Fernando Pizarro, Washington reporter for Univision. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And this idea from President Trump is called and birthright citizenship for people born on U.S. soil to parents who are not citizens themselves. What do you think of that idea? Do you believe the president that he has the authority to do that? Or would you need a constitutional amendment? If it's a constitutional amendment, is it worth doing? Call 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our look at some of the top political news out of Washington this week. Fernando Pizarro is with us, Washington reporter for Univision, taking your calls now on some of the immigration issues out in this week before Election Day. Ben is with us in La Crosse. Ben, hello.
Hi. My comments are this. I think, one, I don't think it's a dichotomy between he's just throwing things out for the election or that he has the authority to do this. I think that we have a president who honed his public voice through reality television. I think many things that we have seen is he will throw out lots of ideas and see how people respond. And my fear is that with this president and the wayward direction that the GOP has gone in allowing him to kind of do whatever he wants, what we're seeing is he's shopping out these ideas that are kind of, in essence, proto-fascist. And just like a television show will kind of tease out plot lines and work with a focus group and see which ending to this movie people like, which direction should this reality show go, I think he does this very purposely, throws a lot of ideas out, and sees how his base will respond and sees how his party will respond.
Ben, thanks for the call. Fernando, what do you think? Trial balloons from the president and whatever sticks, he'll run with it.
Well, that's a very good point that your caller had. We had the opportunity to talk to many people on both sides of the aisle on this issue yesterday. Many of the national Latin organizations were pretty angry about this, and many of the legal scholars say that he does not have the authority. But about the idea of trying things out, one of our Republican analysts said, look, you know, I don't put it past the president or the White House to maybe try and get this idea out there, see how it feels right now in the middle of an election season, and throw out this executive order, which is going to be immediately challenged in the legal courts, and see how far it goes. Right now, they have a conservative Supreme Court, and they're just basically testing the waters to see, or they would if they actually do this, even though the White House did tell us yesterday there were no immediate plans in order to sign this executive order. But let's say it happens. They may be trying to test the waters to see how far they can go in the courts.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Edith in Milwaukee. Edith, hello.
I am calling, and as from my accent you can tell, I am also an immigrant. My parents were political immigrants to this country. While on vacation to Portugal a few years ago with my husband and daughter, we were at a very nice resort and got to talking with an older lady who was holding a baby, and her son and daughter-in-law were in the pool. And she told us that her son came to America to go to school someplace in Southern California, Santa Barbara, I believe she said, and got married so they would have a child, and this child would become an American citizen. And consequently, she said she already considers herself an American citizen, and so do all their family members.
Edith, we don't have too much time. Fernando, that's a concern that critics of birthright citizenship have, that people game the system, they have a kid here in the United States, and that's their way into the country, I guess, is a concern that's often raised.
Well, that is the main concern behind what Republicans and particularly this president has called chain migration, which is basically he wants to, and many Republicans have in the past, again, this, not a lot of these are new ideas, have wanted to change the system to a more what they call a merit-based system to bring in more people that have higher levels of education. And it is true that many people who bring in, you bring in their relatives, but as any immigrant that has gone through the system knows, and many Americans have not, obviously, it is very hard to bring quickly any relative that is not an immediate relative, and I mean parents, spouse, and children, anybody else in particular, even adult children, it's hard to bring and take some time. However, the whole whole issue of bringing in people by merit has been suggested in the past. It was tried to, and they try to include it in some of the past legislative efforts in Congress, and as you know, all of them have eventually failed. But it's not a new idea. The main problem is, again, is for people who have very low skills, like the migrants that are coming up from Honduras, there's very little way for them to come legally. So when the president or the administration said, well, go back and try to apply legally, there's almost no way for such a low-skill worker to come in. There are only very few visas that tend to be very temporary and for very specific jobs, like in the hospitality industry or agricultural industry, which are those meant to be temporary in nature in general.
Thanks for your calls. I promised Fernando we'd talk a little bit about midterm elections. We just have a minute or so left. Where are you watching the most closely right now?
Well, I think there's so many to talk right now, but we basically the bottom line is we know the Democrats need to flip 23 seats. 17 held by GOP tend to be very competitive right now. The Democrats have identified between 100 to 73 competitive races where they need to flip the House. There are about 56 Republican vulnerable seats as well in red states, particularly in the suburbs, that they are hoping to win. Right now, according to many of the experts and the polls, which of course we've learned maybe not to believe until we get some surprises at the end, that there's a higher chance of the Democrats to take over the House. And the Senate side is a little harder. There are many races that we're watching, like the one to replace Jeff Flake in Arizona, or the one that Senator Joe Manchin in West Virginia faces a really hard call. Then there's Texas, Beto O'Rourke against Ted Cruz. Not so far from you in the House, we have the Iowa 1st District. Abby Finkenauer facing the incumbent Republican Rod Blum is one of the hot districts. Of course, let's not forget the open seat for Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. But I think right now, the way things look, House Leader Pelosi said very confidently just a few hours ago that she thinks that the Democrats are going to win the House. But the polls seem to show that things are tightening a lot, and it's going to be a very close call.
Fernando, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Fernando Pizarro is a Washington reporter for Univision. He joined us for a weekly look at some of the top stories in national news.